title of the lesson, it would be, To Him Be the Glory, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3 says, Be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. And that's really why the church exists. It exists for the express purpose of bringing glory and honor to God. And that's so important for us to do that. Now let's see if we can do that and tie two things together. I want us to talk about the church in the past and in the present and in the future. And we're going to begin by talking about the church in the first century and look at the beginnings of that church in the first century. And then we're going to take that same approach and talk about Palm Beach Lakes. And I think you'll understand the connection because we are only three Sundays away from having that Mission Sunday contribution. And I want us to walk out of this building today having a tremendous appreciation of what we're trying to do in this place, and that is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. To Him be glory in the church. Now, the underlying principle of that early church that allowed them to bring glory to Him, the underlying principle of that was the Great Commission. It was the prime principle that motivated everything. Jesus had come, Jesus had died, and the Lord had said to those disciples, now, you go tell everybody on earth about this. And the motivation behind it was the fact we've got something that the world needs to know. Jesus has been on this earth and Jesus has died and salvation is available. And so here are these men without any personal blessings and riches of a material kind that would enable them to be able to accomplish this work. Can you imagine them trying to figure out how they'd get the gospel down to Ethiopia? Guess what? The gospel went to Ethiopia, we know. Can you imagine how they would have ever tried to work out a program and a plan to get the gospel to Caesar? Are you aware that on two occasions, the Apostle Paul evidently preached to Nero Caesar himself? Who would have ever dreamed that whenever the Lord said to those apostles, now you go preach the gospel to every creature. So they started there in Jerusalem. And starting in Jerusalem, the church began to spread out. Adversity had to come, had to be church problems that developed. And so the problems of persecution came, the church was scattered, and you'd think, well, that's the end of the church. No, that's the beginning of the church. Because the gospel began to spread, and it went from Jerusalem all the way up to Antioch. And you read the book of Acts, and you'll read of how that was that great church up at Antioch. So when you get to Acts chapter 13, the Lord, the Spirit, comes to the church at Antioch and says, look, there are two men in this church that you need to separate for me because I have a work that I've appointed them to do. And so the Holy Spirit was responsible for that church to send out what we would call missionaries. Paul and Barnabas left from Antioch and made that first missionary journey. Now, they didn't have the means of communications like we have. I marvel at the ability that we have to have letters go back and forth so easily. The matter of phone calls, and how about those Sunday evenings whenever we use Skype and have our missionaries in Paraguay to talk to us live from Paraguay. Can you imagine Paul having left Antioch and gone down to Seleucia and then over the island of Cyprus and then up into Asia Minor? And later when he carried the gospel over into Europe, how little information they had about what was going on. And so all of a sudden, Paul is coming back. And the Bible tells us that whenever he arrived back to Antioch, Acts chapter 14, verse 27, that when he arrived there at that place, the whole church came together. Can you imagine how exciting it would have been for the whole church to have come together and heard Paul tell about this? For him to be able to tell about what happened over there on the island of Cyprus and how the ruler of one of the major cities there obeyed the gospel. And to hear about all the adversity that they had, but the triumph that they had, and the fact that now up in Asia Minor, the church is in Lystra and Derbe, and they've got elders there, and the church in Antioch, and the church is really, really, really growing. And so they met to hear all of this. And then, having met and heard this, then they started again. So they sent Paul out on a second missionary journey. And that same church, at least that same city, is where he went out on his third missionary journey. Here is a picture of a missionary-minded, New Testament church. Now, as you stop and think about it, just imagine what it would have been like to have sat there and heard Paul talk about what had happened to he and Barnabas while they were traveling. Imagine them talking about Paul being stoned and all of the things. And then imagine Paul saying, now let me tell you about a young man I baptized up there in Lystra. His name is Timothy. And he could have. And for the very first time you would have heard the name of Timothy. And now, all of a sudden, a character that we readily know, the church there, when they assemble together, got to hear about this young man named Timothy. Then Timothy becomes that traveling companion of Paul on that second missionary journey. And as I tried to think about the church coming together and hearing about mission work, I thought about Timothy when he came back to Lystra. And him telling what it was like as a young man to have gone on this mission trip with Paul and Silas, and he met Luke and those other disciples, and the Macedonian call and all that had transpired in that earthquake and the conversion of that jailer up in Philippi. Can you imagine when Timothy came back to life? Can you imagine, young people, Timothy, if he were a teenager at that time or a young adult, and he sat down with his peers and says, let me tell you what God is doing. How exciting that would have been. And then what about that reporting whenever Paul was at Troas and he received the Macedonian call? And so Paul sees that vision in Acts chapter 16 of a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Can you imagine the next time Paul got to Troas and some of those disciples met with Paul and says, Paul, tell us what happened when you got over there. Paul, tell us what the Lord had done over there in that place. And the whole point behind all of this is, to God be the glory. And then those churches in Macedonia, we know Paul frequently visited them. And so here's the church up at Philippi hearing about the things happening down in Corinth, and church in Corinth hearing about the things that were happening up in Macedonia. Can you imagine how thrilling it would have been for those disciples to meet and to hear about the glory that was being brought to God in all of those churches. Now let's jump out of the New Testament and let's come to Palm Beach Lakes. And for the next several minutes, I want us to rejoice at what God has done for us. Because you see, there's an underlying principle that I hope is in the heart of every one of us, and that is this Great Commission. Just like the church in the first century had this prime principle of the Great Commission, I hope that you see souls. I hope that whenever you pay your FP&L bill, that you'll think about somebody's going to be opening this bill. I might be able to tell this individual about the Lord. When you're out eating today, if you eat out, if you're driving through McDonald's, that you'll say to that individual, let me tell you about a great church. Let me tell you something about it. The very heart of the church needs to be the carrying of the gospel into all the world. And like the church went from Jerusalem to Antioch, and from Antioch to Asia Minor, from Asia Minor then to Europe, and spread to every creature under heaven. Those who have no long time remembrance of this church will not remember anything at all about Coniston Road. I don't have anything at all to know about Coniston Road except some of you who were there. Everybody that was ever worshiped at Coniston Road, would you raise your hand? Just how many? There are about four or five hands in this congregation. 1923, they were 2 years of age. So you do the number, that makes them 96 years of age, okay? No, the church started in a home here in 1923, and the first building they ever had was on Coniston Road. And there are some stories you need to sit down with some of these older members and say, tell me of those old days. Tell me what it was like down there. Tell me of what happened there. Tell me about the church and the members of the church, those who are no longer here. Tell me of how that church brought glory to God. What about North Olive? After that building at Coniston Road, there was the church at North Olive. Raise your hand if you ever worshiped at North Olive. I can't raise it high so everybody can see this congregation. This is the group that was at North Olive. And it's so great to hear these individuals talk about North Olive. And Ray Duncan and his television program Can you imagine the impact this church had way back yonder in the almost the beginning days of television in Palm Beach County, and that television program where people would call in and ask questions, and Ray Duncan would answer the questions? The glory that was brought to God, and how the church grew and grew. In fact, it grew so much that it outgrew the building and had to go to a double service just because it was so large everybody could not fit in that building. And then from there we went to 36th Street. How many ever worship God on 36th Street? Now that's a whole lot more of us now. Then put your hand down. How many never worship God on 36th Street? Go ahead and raise your hand. That's amazing. You see, there's a heritage that we have, those who were there on 36th Street, that's a part of our heart, a part of our soul, and it's a part of Palm Beach Lakes, but it's not a part of Palm Beach Lakes at this place. You don't know the joy of trying to get this building and all of the things that happened and all of the growth and all of the great things that happened. But what great stories it is to hear about those things that happened. And then from 36th Street, we've come to Leo Lane. And I'm not going to be stupid enough to ask if you've ever worshiped God at Leo Lane to raise your hand. And we have met today in the latter part of this lesson to talk about what God has done through Palm Beach Lakes in relationship to mission work. Because Mission Sunday is coming. And if you're visiting with us, you may not know what Mission Sunday is all about. Or if you're a newer member, you may not really have an appreciation of what Mission Sunday is all about. But the concept of Mission Sunday is that we are now going, after we meet and do all of these things, we're going to go out and tell everybody else about it. And that's really what this is all about. Now let's go back 7 or 8 years ago to the time whenever our elders kept asking the question, are we doing all that we can? How can we do more to evangelize the world? And that's the underlying principle that there is in this congregation. How can we do more to get the gospel to those who are lost? And let me just stop long enough to emphasize something, and so we'll not have a misunderstanding of it. We'll emphasize this more than once in this lesson this week and next week. And that is, we need to understand that a majority of the money, but much of the money that is spent on Mission Sunday and that is raised on Mission Sunday is used locally. Sometimes we have the concept, we have these large contributions and it all goes overseas. Well, such is not the case. You know, much of Douglas's salary when we were doing the Spanish work and the Heart to Heart magazine and the Dave Miller seminar and the creation seminars and things of that nature, evidence kinds of seminars. The funds for some of those, if not all of them, except the creation seminars, have come out of a Mission Sunday funding. And we need to have an appreciation of the great things that's happening. And so mission work doesn't start in Ascension, Paraguay. It starts at the front doors of this building and goes from here around the world. And so the elder said, here's a way we're going to increase our mission work. We're going to set one Sunday of a year in January, and whatever is given on that Sunday will be used for evangelism. The elders totaled up about how much money we were giving various ones, like Robert Martin, who's been associated with this church for 20 years or more, one of our missionaries. And they started totaling all of that up, and we were giving $50,000 a year. And if you were here that Sunday, when we were talking about Mission Sunday, and I stood before the church and I said, if we're going to do the mission work that we've been doing, we must have $50,000 on that Sunday. We'll have to tell these missionaries we can't support you anymore. We're not interested. And we were just praying that we'd reach that $50,000 level. Because every dollar that was given on that day was going to go for mission work. Well, Mission Sunday, the first year we had it, the mission budget the prior year, 2003, was $50,056. And then on Mission Sunday, instead of $50,000, this church gave $125,000. And one of the elders said to me, we just didn't know the heart of Palm Beach Lakes. And that's one of the great joys of being a part of this congregation. is because the prime work of Jesus coming on this earth is to evangelize the world, and the prime work of this church is to evangelize the world. And how thrilling it was for us to be doing 2.5 times the amount of work that we have been doing. Let's look back for just a minute and talk about some of the works that we've been involved in. There is Nina Afforgy. Nina Afforgy, and if you'll look at the picture of the church building, you'll see his name as it appears across there and as the various works are added to this building. Nina is in Nigeria. And this church has supported him since 1994. What's that? That's like 16 years. You know how all that came about? It came about because there was a man in the church by the name of D. Manwaring who wanted to do what he could to evangelize the world. And so he started working with World Bible School, sending correspondence courses around the world. And they came back to his house and he'd grade them and send out again. And they'd come back to his house. And finally he came to the elders and he said, "There's a brother over there that needs our support." And so Nina Afforgy was supported by this church. The amount of money that we gave him in the beginning was, Joe, what, $25, $50 a month? It wasn't all of that much, all of that money. And so it's not like we do not know what's going on in that work, because there's a brother by the name of Doug Wheeler who visits Nigeria, and he's met and talked to Nina Afforgy, and this very month, he will be meeting with Nina Afforgy to talk about the work that he's doing there. And we get regular reports, and the work is being taught in Nigeria, in Africa, because of you. To him be the glory in the church. And there will be Africans in heaven because of Palm Beach Lakes. And that's no personal glory to us. To him be the glory, but how thankful I am to be a part of that. Then also in Africa is Tamuka. Tamuka is down in Zimbabwe, and man, what a problem situation he has. The government is very corrupt, somewhat communistic. Inflation rate is sometimes 1,000% per month. Takes a stack of money that high to go in and just buy a loaf of bread. And what a great man he is. And so last year, because of Mission Sunday and because of the need that he had, the elders were able to give him an increase. But they said it's only for the 1 year. But if this church will come through with the funds, we'll try to help you through this. And so he's getting the support that we have been giving him, you know, $150 a month or something like that. And then last year raised it another $100, $125, $275 a month. He's going over to Zimbabwe, a communist nation in the southern part of Africa. And there'll be Christians, Zimbabweans, is that the word I want? I'm making up words. Folks from Zimbabwe will be in heaven because of Mission Sunday. Thank God that this church is doing what it can. And then what about that work in Marsh Harbor? You know, we've not been heavily involved, but there's that work over in Marsh Harbor. And there's Jason Quashie, and I guess, Jeff, you were sort of the catalyst to get us tied into that work that's over there. But we have a sister congregation. We're not a mother church. We're sister congregation. And we stood beside that work in Marsh Harbor, and we were supporting Jason along with another church in Texas also. And we told the church in Marsh Harbor, we're going to start dropping Jason's support, and we want you to be able to take over that support. We're not here to just be somebody just forever sends money forever to a place. We're here to get out of the business of supporting individuals so that you can support this man on your own. And so we've been reducing our support by 25% a year. And this will be the final year that we'll be sending salary to Jason Quashie over there. But it will not be the end of our association with Marsh Harbor, because Marsh Harbor needs us. And all of these, I don't have to tell you, if you come on Wednesday night, I don't have to tell you, there'll be Bahamians from Marsh Harbor who were encouraged to be faithful to God because of cards that you wrote and said, "I just heard that you were baptized. I'm glad to have you as my brother or sister in Christ." And there, that building over there where some of you have gone and physically labored in order that they might have that building there. And you look at that work, and as I think about that work, one word comes to mind. That is victory. That is victory. From a congregation that had, you know, five or six members, and almost all of them, except for Jason, were women, now have men who are regularly helping Jason preach by doing the preaching on Sunday night. It's a congregation headed toward the road of standing on its own, and it's because of the mindset of this congregation that wants to do mission work. What do we, can we talk about Joey Treat? We don't need to spend a lot of time, since Joey was here a couple of weeks ago, and on a Sunday morning the Bible Class Hour gave a report. Let me tell you the kind of thing that's happening out there in the South Pacific. He was in Saipan and worked with the church so much that the church in Saipan developed leadership and the ability to stand on its own. That's the way you do mission work. You don't just forever tie yourself to it and just forever throw money into a hole that never brings about any stability. But the work in Saipan had arrived at the point that now Joey, as you told us about, is now over in Palau. And because he's no longer needed there in Saipan. And one word comes out of that is victory. And that's because of Palm Beach Lakes. But it's not glory to Palm Beach Lakes. To Him be glory in this church. And you may never meet a Saipanese. I'll make that word up. I don't know if that's... You'll never meet any of those individuals. But there'll be folks in heaven who you will meet someday in heaven who will be able to say, thank you for sacrificially giving so I can learn about Jesus Christ. And then there's that other work out in the South Pacific. And if I say Robert Martin, that's probably enough said. 21 years association with an individual that is unique in so many respects. When he arrived in the South Pacific, the church was not in all that many places. But of the 22 island nations in the South Pacific, the gospel has the church has been established on 17. And the gospel has been taught in 18 of those nations. And we'll say a whole lot more about this, but if I say Easter Island, the most remote island on this earth, look it up, Google it, get a globe down and see if you can find Easter Island, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of miles away from any other landmass in the South Pacific is Easter Island. And guess what? Guess what? Josh Blackmer has preached the gospel on Easter Island. Our Josh, who with Robert went and made that survey trip. And now, if you've read Robert's report, there's a final push. Robert says, I'm getting older, and I'm giving a final push the latter part of my life to establishing the Lord's church all over the South Pacific. Aren't you glad that you're associated with Robert Martin? Amen and amen on that. And aren't you glad that Palm Beach Lakes has had a part of that? I don't need to talk a whole lot about Apologetics Press. We know the great work that Apologetics Press has done. Dave Miller is now the director of that. He's been so for so many years. We first started supporting Apologetics Press in 1986 and became heavily associated with it in the year 2004. And we've reaped the fruits and the benefits of that. These men are going and lecturing in every place that they can go. I believe they're in some 90. They've lectured in some 99 cities. Is that on one of the? Yes. AP men have spoke 197 days last year, 96 weekends, 90 in 98 cities, 21 states, and one foreign country. And if there's any congregation closely associated with Apologetics Press, it's Palm Beach Lakes. Aren't you glad? What about that website? What about that website? Look at those numbers. 5 million page hits from 150 different countries last year. Every 6 seconds, somebody around the world is coming to Apologetics Press website. Thank God for the great impact there is being made by those men there in Montgomery at Apologetics Press. And in this last year, they published Vacation Bible School literature. They published some books of evidences about the human body. They continue to publish books for children. There's the seminars that Dave has done about atheism in America. And then there are the other evidence books, plus the multitude of books that they've already published. To Him be the glory. Thank God that I'm a part of Palm Beach Lakes. It may not be as thrilling to sit here today and rejoice, as thrilling as it was when Paul came back from his first missionary journey. But folks, you'd have to be dead internally for not to be excited and thankful for being a part of what's happening here. Then what about that Spanish work? Our work began in 2003, and Douglas arrived in 2006. And there was a great work. There were ongoing baptisms, regular baptisms in that work. But in the latter part of this last year, the decision was made to merge that congregation with the work down at Jog Road. For many of our members lived down in that area, and it just seemed the transportation was always a problem. There were other factors of that. And so here is that congregation down on Jog Road, and that's this great congregation, the Spanish work, has doubled in size. And think of how powerful that congregation is now that it has twice the members it used to have, with a great, great emphasis. And it's not that we've given up on reaching the Spanish work, the Spanish in Palm Beach County or around the world, for you know that Douglas shall be our missionary soon. Then what about the teen mission trips? Over all of these years, and since 1996, our teens have gone on mission trips. And young people, we are so thankful for the work that you are doing in mission work. Thank you, Casey and Hannah, for all that you do. But thank you, church, for putting spirituality and giving spirituality in the hearts of these young people by an opportunity to teach the gospel. And whenever they go, and our young people have a great impact on the young people wherever they go, and as they are going, they have an impact. I'm thankful that this church believes in its young people. Let's briefly talk about the Paraguay stuff. We already know about it, but what about that team that we have there? You want to look at that team? You want to look at the photos that are there? You want to look how many individuals there have association with Palm Beach Lakes? I mean, you look at the team that is there evangelizing that city, capital city of the nation of Paraguay. Do you know how many members of that team have association with Palm Beach Lakes? Well, let's look at them individually. Look at Chris Fry, and there's Vicky and Emma and Walker and Oliver. Palm Beach Lakes has been associated with this work. Chris came to Palm Beach Lakes. Let me find my notes and get them here in a proper order. There's the sheet I'm looking for. Pardon me, but I've got so much information here. Beth came to Palm Beach Lakes. Beth Fry came to Palm Beach Lakes in 1983. Chris was 6 years old. Some of you women in this church taught Chris in Sunday school. Are you aware that you are responsible for that church being in Paraguay? And there were others who did everything they could to encourage him. Chris was baptized in 1986, taught and baptized his father, Tim, one of our elders, in 1997, married in the year 2000, and in 2002, he moved to Paraguay. How about that? A young man who grew up in Palm Beach Lakes. And we supported him while he was there. And then they started the work in 2003. And the church here assumed the oversight of his work in 2008. And he will soon be returning, because to show the heart of this individual, he committed himself to work 5 years in Paraguay. You know the kind of heart that young man has? 8 years. Because, at least in part, because of Palm Beach Lakes. Can we talk about Josh and Kara and Josiah and Vivian? Can we talk about their association with Palm Beach Lakes? Josh came here in the year 2004, moved to work with our young people. And Josh used to sit right here and work with our teens. And in May of 2008, he sort of became a missionary when he went out and started raising funds like Douglas is doing right now. And in September of 2009, because of the monies given by this church as the overseeing congregation, not the sole financial supporter of him, but the overseeing of him as a missionary, moved down to Paraguay and began studying the language and learning the language and teaching the people, and now fluent in the Spanish language, can stand up and preach the gospel in Spanish. Thank God for Palm Beach Lakes. And you may never meet many people from Paraguay, but there will be those individuals who on the judgment day will say, if it hadn't been for Palm Beach Lakes, I never would have been a Christian. To God be the glory. And then to talk about Troy and Andrea. Troy went to Paraguay on a mission trip in the year year 2006. But Troy came to Palm Beach Lakes in the year 1997. Andrea sort of grew up in this congregation from age 6 to about 15. If we can figure out the records and everything, they were here. Some of the time they were down at 10th Avenue, the congregation that was down there. But whenever she and Troy moved back to this area, he became a part of this congregation. And something happened to Troy. Here's a man who had been a performer, you know, on the opening act of concert for famous musicians. Something missing in his life, and he comes to Palm Beach Lakes, and something happens sitting in these pews in the heart of a young man. And I hope it's happening in the hearts of other young men. And when he learned to speak Spanish, just from the work situation, he said, I'm going to try to teach others. He went down to Paraguay. And when he came back from Paraguay, just on that brief visit down there, driving back from the airport, he began to talk to David and says, I want to preach. I've got to preach the gospel. And so we supported him while he was in the Southwest School of Preaching. He graduated in May of 2009. And in January of this past year, he became our third missionary down in that land. Thank God for Mission Sunday. Thank God for all of the things that are happening here. Thank God that we can be a part of this. But the reality is, to Him be the glory. Where do we go from here? Well, we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about that trip that we're having planned to carry some of our members down to Paraguay to do the work down in that land on a mission trip, an adult mission trip. If you want to get involved in that in the future, then how about verbalizing it? Let it be known. Why would you not want to, even now, if you had that kind of interest? Why wouldn't you try to start learning that language so you'd be even more effective when you go down to that land? We'll talk more about what lies in the future. To Him be the glory. We're going to sing this song of invitation. It may be that you're ready to give your life to the Lord. It may be that you want to be a part of this church. And somebody says, I don't know how you do it. Well, you do it just like they became part of the church in Bible times. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and they repented of their sins, because Acts 17:30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And that's what you need to do. And when you confess your faith in Jesus, you can be immersed in water. And like the Lord added people to that New Testament church in the first century, you do the same thing today, and the Lord will add you to the New Testament church in the 21st century. Just a Christian. We can help you in any way in your walk with the Lord. Won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?